Sin opened the eyes, and the eyes that were opened by that sin realized they were naked. Our nakedness, my beloved, resulted in us doing two things. Our nakedness resulted in us doing two things. One, made us feel embarrassed with our own selves. We became embarrassed with what we have done. Every time we make a mistake, we feel ashamed. That shame is nakedness. That shame is nakedness. And secondly, made us flee from God. So made us embarrassed with our own selves and made us walk away from God. Prior to the fall, Adam was in the bosom of God. After the fall, he said to God, "I'm hiding because I'm naked." Adam ran away from the bosom of God. God said to Adam, "Can you cover yourself? Why are you running away from me?" Okay, you've realized your mistake. You've made a mistake. You've sinned against me. You transgressed against me. And you can see that you are naked. You feel ashamed, embarrassed to stand before me as naked. You're running away. But let me say this to you, my son. Even though you sin, but I'm still love. I'm still that love that created you. Do you think by running away from me, you can cover yourself by yourself? Is there anyone else, Adam, outside of God that can cover your nakedness? No, Adam. Don't run away from me when you sin, but rather run to me when you sin, not away from me. Run to me. Yes, you feel ashamed. Yes, you feel embarrassed, but never be embarrassed of your God because he's your dad. Don't ever lose track. I'm your dad. Don't be embarrassed of your dad. Don't ever run away from dad because this dad is the only one that can cover your nakedness. You run away, you'll be lost forever. So Adam said, "I'm embarrassed." Don't be embarrassed from your father. Come back to the bosom of your father to cover your nakedness, Adam. When we look at the prodigal son, you know, when you read in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 15, and it talks about, there's three parables there. The last one, the three are all one. It starts with the lost sheep, with the lost coin, and the lost son. All three are the same thing. One parable with three branches. But when we look at the prodigal son, the lost son, what happened? You see, when that son decided to walk away from his father, he said, "I don't want to live with you. Even though I'm living in a mansion, I live like a king. I am spoiled. I've got everything that I need at my fingertip. But one thing I don't feel, I don't experience, I'm not free. Because as long as I'm living under your roof, Dad, I have to do your way. I have to do things your way. I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. So Dad, give me my portion. I want to go seek my own life, my own freedom, my own way." He ended up working in the pig's field. And that's what happens to every single human being that walks away from the true living God. The end is the pig's field. And what is the pig's field? The filth of the world. Where are you going to end up? In the streets and the dark alleys of this world. Drugs, alcoholism, gambling, men, women, in between, you name it, the filth of the world. Look, the only place where you are safe and sound is the Father's bosom. You need Jesus Christ. No prophet can save you. No good man can save you. No good philosopher can save you. No good politician can save you. Because there is no one good. The only one who is good is God. And this God who is good, his name is Jesus, Christ of Nazareth. Period. Period, my beloved. But look at the prodigal son. He walked away from his dad. He ended up working in the pig's field, in the core and the heart of filth. And then he came back to dad after copying it the hard way. He realized, what am I doing here? I'm going to perish if I remain here. I'll go back to my dad. He comes back. The father runs to him to welcome him. Now the father is running. The father is dressed in holiness and righteousness. The son is dressed in filthiness. The father in holiness, the son dressed in filthiness. And the moment he meets his son, he does not think twice, does not blink twice. This holy father grabs the son and holds him tight to his bosom, to the core of his heart, with his filth. And then he says to the servants, three things you do for my lost and dead son. Number one, bring out the best robe and put it on him. The best, the only one, nothing like it. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Number two, put a ring on his hand. Number three, and sandals on his feet. The son sat all clean, and the father sat all dirty, because he hugged his dirty son. Wow. The son became clean because the father accepted to be dirty for his salvation. But this time, the dirt was not mud. This time, the dirt was the blood of his only begotten son. He slain his own son on the cross on Calvary to make us whiter than snow and brighter than the sun, and to make his son dirty. Crucified among thieves, murderers, second-class citizens. Kicked, punched, ridiculed, spat on, and then crucified. Fully naked from head to toe. The church puts that, a little rope around the waist of the Lord Jesus out of respect for her heavenly groom. But Jesus Christ was crucified fully naked. A mature adult, a man in his 33 years of age, fully mature adult man. Do you know how embarrassing it is to be crucified fully naked, where people were making fun of him? But you see, the Holy Bible did not go into details what people said, but God recorded everything. Nothing is lost with God. He can bring out every single dot, letter, word that was uttered out of their stupid and filthy mouths. God knows what they said about Jesus. And he did not whisper. In fact, after all that ridicule, the Lord comes back and says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Why? Because I am all love for you, my child. I, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I am all love for you. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how deep you've gone in your sin and in your wrongdoings, just come back and say, Daddy, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's what I came for, to take you back to the Father's bosom, to the Father's heart. Because I, the Son, Jesus Christ, I am my Father's heart. I am his heart. And if you choose me, you become his heart as well, through me. That's Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the blood of Christ covered me and made me dwell in the Father's bosom and the Father's heart. And then the verse continues, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the second half of the verse. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, my beloveds, the first part of verse 1 speaks about the secret place. And we said the secret place is Lord have mercy, which is the Father's bosom. Cover me, Lord, with your blood. Cover me, Lord, with your sacrifice, because without your covering, sin made me naked, and my nakedness cannot take me back to my Father's house anymore. I lost it. That's why the Son of God came back, to bring the lost son back to his heavenly Father. And that lost son is all of us. So the secret place is where God covers our sins. But under the shadow of the Almighty. Now why shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Why shall abide under the shadow? When we sinned, we fell under a shadow. And the Almighty turned a shadow into the shadow. I'll say it again. When we sinned, we fell under a shadow. But the Almighty turned a shadow into the shadow. Now, which shadow did we fall under when we sinned? The shadow of death. Where do we find this? In Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I think it's getting hot. That's not part of the topic. That's to do with the aircon. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, does death have a shadow? Who can tell me? Does death have a shadow? Well, the Holy Bible says it does. So what are you going to say? Yes, it does. Now, what is the shadow of death? Hell. Hell. Hell is the shadow of death. Now, what led me to death? Sin. When I broke God's word, I sinned against God. Through sin, I ended up being dead. And death took me to hell. So sin took me to death, and death handed me over to hell. What King David is saying in Psalm 23, death is difficult, but hell is impossible, not difficult. So, can Christ bring someone from the dead? Yes, well, he brought Lazarus from the dead. He was dead 4 days, and he raised him from the dead by just one word, Lazarus, come forth. So, King David is saying, even when I sin, I'll end up being dead. To come back from the dead, it is difficult, but to come back from hell, it is impossible, not difficult. But the good shepherd, because Psalm 23 begins, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is the shepherd? The Lord. And who is this Lord, the shepherd? The Lord Jesus. King David is saying, my Jesus Christ, who is my Lord, my shepherd, not only he brought me out of death, the difficult situation, he brought me out of hell, the impossible situation. You see, if I end up in death, there's a chance I can come back. But to end up in hell, it is impossible to come back. Christ did the impossible. Out of hell, he took me out. Because what is impossible to men is possible to God, says the Lord. So when we sinned, we fell under a shadow, the shadow of death, according to Psalm 23, verse 4. Now, King David, you're saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why will you not fear evil? Why will you not fear? Well, he says, see, because the Lord Jesus entered the shadow of death and turned it into the shadow of the Almighty. Because the Lord Jesus entered the shadow of death, he died for my sake, he took my place, and he entered that death and that shadow of death. Because he entered that shadow of death, he turned the shadow of death into the shadow of the Almighty. You with me? See how Psalm is beautiful? The Holy Bible is beautiful. Whatever you read, it's just incredible. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. He's just amazing. He's just amazing. So Jesus Christ entered the shadow of my death, I, David, and turned my shadow of death into the shadow of the Almighty. Because the Lord Jesus is able to change death to life, loss to gain, and evil to good. He's capable, and more than capable. And this is to everyone who is listening. If you are going to compare Jesus Christ to any other religious figure, or any other philosophical figure, or any other political figure, my advice to you, don't even try to do it, because you will come out a loser. But let me go with you, and let's compare Jesus Christ with any and every other religious figure. I'll ask you this, my dear friend. With all the religious figures of the world, all of them, without differentiation, what was the ultimate they could have achieved in the human life? The ultimate they would have achieved is this: change a bad person into a good person. Maybe they brought certain morals, values, and principles of life. You know, they brought some good teachings. And with those teachings, they touched people's hearts, and they changed those bad people into some morally kind of a good people. That's the ultimate they could ever achieve. Jesus Christ, all glory to his holy and mighty name. He did not come to change bad people into good people. He came to change dead people into living ones. In this, you cannot compare the Lord with no one else. Nobody ever dared. Nobody ever dared in the history of humanity to say, if you believe in me, even if you die, you will live. But if you take my body and drink my blood, you will live in me forever. Nobody dared to say such a foundational, profound statement except Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, he's either a full lunatic, or he is either fully God revealed in the flesh. Because the only one that can guarantee eternal life is God. And the reason why all the religious leaders were not able to claim this, because all of them realized they are mortal human beings, dead as all of us. Jesus, his tomb is empty. And every Saturday before Sunday resurrection, that holy fire comes out of that tomb to say, out of darkness I brought light, and the light is the life of mankind. Out of the grave I brought life. Only God can do the impossible. That's why Jesus said it, because he is God. He has it in him. That's why he was able to say it, and he gave it to those who believed in him. And he still gives it to whoever believes in him, even if it's right this very moment. He's willing and he's ready. It's up to you, my son, up to you, my daughter, to come to the Lord.